Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez are now joined by Tim Grunhard. Timmy, we really haven't said anything on the air, but then your former teammate Duron Cherry was just on the air and wanted us to wish you well and a speedy recovery. So I feel like we have to address it now. Would you like to tell people what happened to you? You sent a tweet out that scared people, and then Sarah had to retweet it and clarify that you were okay. And so could you share with Chiefs Kingdom exactly what happened to you?
Yeah, you know, I talked about it a little bit last night on Crunch Time, but for people that weren't listening, yeah, sorry. You know, we went to the Cincinnati Bengal game, and then I had a little stop over in Springfield, Illinois, where I had to do a little bit of a motivational speech for a company. And we kind of got in that afternoon, and, you know, obviously there was some rain and a little bit of snow over New Year's that kind of hit here. And so got home, and Sarah's like, hey, let's take the dogs for a walk and go take a look at the last of the Christmas lights that are up here off of Ward Parkway. And I said, sure. So it was around 7 o'clock at night, and you know, just walking out the back door there, and we have a brick stoop, and as soon as I walked out, I told Sarah, I said, listen, be careful. It looks pretty icy out here. And I took one step down onto the driveway, and all hell broke loose. I fell, landed on my right shoulder, really hard. I felt kind of the ribs and everything shift, and didn't think too much of it. Knocked the wind out of me, kind of rolled over, you know, took a couple minutes to kind of gather myself, went back inside, and just kind of sat down, had a little bit of the shakes a little bit, you know, that adrenaline that kicks in, I guess, after you break a bone. Now, guys, remember this. I played 11 years in the NFL, never broke a bone. So I didn't really wasn't an expert on broken bones. Orthopedic stuff? Sure, I could tell you all about that. But so the next morning, woke up, didn't sleep very well that night. You know, I was rolling over and kind of had the sharp pains. And I thought, boy, you really pulled a muscle in the side, in your side. And I called my doctor, Strelo, Dr. Mark Strelo, and I said, hey, I got some sore ribs here. He goes, well, let's just go in and get an X-ray. So went over the image, got an X-ray, and didn't think too much of it, and was driving back, and my doctor called and said, listen, you need to go back and get those films that you just took and go to the emergency room because you have 4 broken ribs and a punctured lung.
Good God.
Yeah. So I was pretty nasty. So then as soon as he told me that, then I realized the pain that I was in, I think my mind was blocking it because then it started to hurt a lot. And then went and got a CAT scan, and there was a small tear in my lung that let the air out. And they had to put a tube in my chest and fill it back up. And that process takes a while. You go through a suction process and then a water seal process and then a clamping process. So, I was in the hospital for about 5 days and got out couple days ago, and my lungs are great now, but as you can probably tell, I'm trying to get off of these pain meds. I cannot stand pain meds. So my ribs are really sore. They're starting to get the lung is fine, but the ribs are sore. But I'm doing okay, and Sarah was very upset with me. I probably was under the influence of some sort of pain medication when I did that tweet. And she said, why did you do that? Because then everybody was calling her and all my, you know, Frank got a bunch of calls and, you know, some of my other friends. And so she went on there and explained kind of what the deal was. But so for Kansas City Chiefs Kingdom through Twitter, I felt so loved, and I'm so thankful for a lot of the great responses. That made me feel good. So the tweet that I probably shouldn't have sent out in the long run really did a lot for my spirit. So I want to thank everybody for that. And you know, I was in the hospital at Menorah. Those doctors and nurses are so great there, the frontline workers. There's a lot of COVID cases and everything else going on in there. But I was in the ICU, kind of segregated from that. And, And one of the nurses, Lori, who works there, she's a big Chiefs fan, so she came in and kind of watched the Chiefs game with me a little bit. So it was kind of nice. It was a it was an interesting time in my life. I got through it. Still working through it, but I'm on IR. But it's really good to be on with you guys because the last 20 to 30 minutes, I was like, this is great. I get to get on and talk about the Chiefs and not just sit here and watch the weather, So here I am, but really excited for this Chiefs game. Now, obviously, I can't go to the Chiefs game. I was going to go with my son. I was going to be the first pass person, and won't be able to do that. So I'm hoping the Chiefs get this win, which I think they will, and then that gives me maybe an opportunity to go to the next game. But this one, I'll be sitting right here on my couch, Stephen and Nate and Jake, watching the game and hoping for the Chiefs to take care of business like last time.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, and as someone that falls down at least a couple of times a year, my goodness, that was that is incredibly painful. What you're describing, I think one broken rib is. I mean, how in the hell did you
break four?
There was no question you were tough, but. I mean, right, Jake? I mean, that would have...
I mean, are they on the back side, like your floating ribs?
No, they're...
on the front?
God!
They're on the front right. Oh. Kind of, if you know where you're, kind of where your breastbone, kind of, it's right below that and on the side there. And the worst part about it was, and I don't know much about the lungs, and I was talking to Jake a little bit earlier, and he's just an educated guy. He just did.
Well, I mean, right. I do. I'm not bragging by any means, but I have done a lot of, studying about, just because I do a lot of breath work, and there's so many different ways to do breath work to affect, because you have so many different parts of your lungs and your mouth breathing, your nose breathing, you have an upper part.
And you've been
part.
Described as a mouth breather several mouth times breather. Over your life. So.
But no, and you have little muscles that are in between your ribs. I'm sure you pulled some of those, like in the cartilage area.
Wow. So where I tore the lung lining into your chest cavity, where there's actually a little broken rib piece that they're concerned about, because that when the lung expands, that's what popped it, and it's still there. But it's in the cilia, which I think that's how they say it, or cilius. But it's really the only part of the lung. In that little area, kind of on the outer edges, is where the nerve endings are. Your lungs don't have nerve endings in the lungs itself. So where I tore it is like the worst possible spot. So, it's the deep breathing. And I will tell you this. You want to talk about the most painful thing that I've ever experienced is a sneeze.
The worst. Oh, my gosh, the worst.
Oh, no.
Or a cough.
I sneezed yesterday, and then I had to sneeze again. And you want to talk about a battle between your mind and your body?
It'll put you in tears, man.
I refused to let the sneeze out, and that was so. That's like the biggest nightmare is when you feel a sneeze coming on. So that's a big fight you got to put up. But yeah, man, I'm doing good. And I enough about me. I love you guys. Mm-hmm. Love that you guys care. I'm the man, and, once again, just the Chiefs Kingdom has been, just so awesome, man. Every time I just kind of reminisce about reasonings why Sarah and I stayed here in Kansas City and we're part of this community or part of this Chiefs Kingdom, really brought it up front is how great you guys have been. So it brings a tear to my eye that there's so much support, and I love this city and I love these Chief fans, and I'm just hoping and praying that we continue on and enjoy this season, because it's been a special season for everybody.
Tim Grenhart joins us. All right, Timmy, before we get into the Chiefs, you played for a number of years. I don't know that this was available to you back in the day. Bart Scott suggested, because look, Colt, you did have to deal with cold weather. Chiefs will get to play some cold weather to get to the Super Bowl. And this Bills game is going to be single digits against the Patriots Saturday night. And Josh Allen, they've talked about his poor circulation in his toes, and maybe the cold weather bothers him. That's an issue in Buffalo. And so Bart Scott, to a former longtime linebacker in the NFL, this is the suggestion that he gave to Josh Allen. I'd like to get a ruling from you on this, please.
Well, Josh Allen, listen, can people get this message by Agra? Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
Bart Scott said he used to do it. Former teammates used to do it. Have a Viagra, and that'll help you with your circulation and help you in those cold weather games. Timmy, your thoughts? Agree
some
or disagree?
Blue chew for Josh Allen, right. Grunny.
This sounds like kind of a vet slash rookie hazing type of deal. I remember something similar to this when I was in Denver in my first couple of years, where Bill Moss and the older guys would say, "Hey, listen, are you getting dry mouth from you know, when you're up in at altitude, your mouth gets really dry and it's hard to breathe, obviously, as I'm going through right now, but it's a little bit different, but it's hard to breathe." And they said, "Take Bengay and put it on the top of your mouth, and your mouth will sweat, and it'll keep your mouth moist." Which I hate that word. But
So who's Bill Moss? Who used to tell the rookies this? Who else would say
like,
this?
Like Boogie Bell.
Okay.
And like, you know, those kind of guys. And so
who did
I
it?
I was
the moist one.
Oh, I did it. Oh, and I absolutely did it.
Oh,
and
no.
And it, I will first off say it's not like Gator gum that you know you chew and your mouth just like it doesn't work very well. So it makes you pretty ill. So this could be one of those things where hey, take a Viagra and that will help your circulation. And the next thing you know, you're walking around very uncomfortably on the field. And I don't think it's going to do something. So I don't know. I've never heard that. I would probably just go with an extra pair of socks.
Right. And we all know, look, there's no argument here. You got to play hard in the playoffs, but I'm not sure that's what Bart Scott meant. But we can move on from that immediately. Okay, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers as the opponent. Somewhat of a surprise based on what we expected going into the last weekend of the season. But here they are. They lost 36-10 to the Chiefs a few weeks ago, but as Daron Cherry said, new season, new game, playoffs, that don't mean a thing. And so you tell me what you expect from these Pittsburgh Steelers. Nervous at all about this matchup? What do you think about Pittsburgh coming to town to take on the Chiefs?
Well, I'm always nervous in playoffs. I have a little PTSD from playoff play in Kansas City, so I'm always a little bit nervous about that. But listen, the Chiefs jumped out to a 23-0 lead at half against these guys, and Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman and Hoyer all played well. They all had touchdown catches. And the Chiefs really weren't at full speed, and they still were able to take care of Pittsburgh. I think Ben Roethlisberger is an outstanding quarterback in the past. It's probably the best way. I mean, I think the arrow is pointing down on Ben. You know, listen, he's still a leader. He still finds ways to win football games, but he obviously, the arrow is pointing down. He's getting to the end of his career. So, you know, they got to be able to do what they did last time. And Kansas City, I think there's going to be a really important thing to look for in this game. Number one is they've got to tackle better. In Denver, they didn't tackle very well. But the last time they played Pittsburgh was probably the best game tackling they had. Harris never really got going. The open field, Johnson and Claypool were as good as I've seen this team do in a long, long time. Sneed and Matthew and Gay and Bolton and all those guys just really did an unbelievable job of tackling in space. And that's what you have to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if you see the Kansas City Chiefs coming up and tackling and getting that Wolfpack mentality where they get a bunch of people around the ball and tackling and swarming to the ball, I think you're going to see a really productive and a good game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Offensively, the Chiefs are going to score. They're going to put points up, but the Chiefs cannot let any cheap touchdowns or missed tackles and guys, you know, breaking big plays. Now, Ben is not going to run the ball like Drew did last week, but that was just a microcosm of the bad tackling. When, you know, I love Drew Lock, but, you know, Drew Lock is running for 30-yard touchdown runs against your defense, something's going wrong. So, you know, the Chiefs have got to tackle better. They've got to create turnovers, which they did last time against these guys. And, you know, the front four are the Kansas City Chiefs with Chris Jones and Reed and Ingram and Clark. They've got to get to the quarterback. And the Chiefs, I'm just hoping that they don't need to blitz as much because Big Ben isn't going to escape out of the pocket. All he wants to do is kind of sit and get rid of the ball quickly. So when you bring pressure, you're putting yourself in a tough position because you've got some one-on-ones. And that's what these wide receivers want. There's not a lot of big, there's not a lot of fast wide receivers. There's not a lot of speed on the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive side, but they do have big guys. Harris can run the ball. He's really physical. Claypool and Johnson are both bigger receivers. So when you get that one-on-one and you're bringing pressure, the Chiefs, I think they're putting themselves in a tough position. So I would expect them to play a lot more zone, a lot more, maybe seven men dropping into the zones to try to maybe get Ben to throw it to us. But they've got to get pressure with the front four, which they did last time, and I think they'll be able to do this time again.
How concerned are you with the heel injury to Tyreek Hill that's limiting him in practice and the situation with Clyde Edwards-Helaire where he's been back removed from practice now because of the injury he's dealing with?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, you want to be at full speed when you get to the playoffs, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, a bye week would have been great at this time to let those guys rest up, but obviously that didn't happen. I am not too worried about a heel. I've known guys with heel injuries. I've had heel injuries. They just are painful. It really doesn't it's not like a physically limiting injury. It's just a painful injury. So you could put padding and everything else in there. Let's say it's not going to be 100%. There's nobody out there that's 100% this time of the year. So I think they'll use Tyreek wisely. But, you know, Mecole Hardman had a hell of a game, man. I got to give him credit. Listen, I've been a critic of Mecole Hardman and some of the route running, some of the things that he's done with, you know, his relationship with Patrick Mahomes that, you know, probably could have been better. But Mecole Hardman played it a hell of a game and really – the second half of the season, his game has picked up every week. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that 100-yard receiving game, and they're trying to get the ball in his hands, and that'll take some pressure off of Tyreek. You know, the big thing is that Travis Kelce, I don't believe he played in the Pittsburgh game last time. So I expect a big game out of Travis. First of all, he plays great in the playoffs. He plays great at Arrowhead. And I think you're going to see a motivated Travis Kelce. So there is a guy that I think is going to be a big help for the Chiefs in the offensive scheme. But guys, the one thing that I probably like to leave with everybody is that Pittsburgh understands this. So this is not a positive for the Chiefs as much as if they were playing the Bengals or they were playing maybe even Oakland or not Oakland, but the Vegas. Is that the playoffs are a whole different speed than the regular season. And, you know, I always compare it to when you get there in May and June, you start on the field and you're out there doing OTAs, you got a speed that you're working at, things that you're doing, and you kind of get used to that speed. And then all of a sudden, you got to make that adjustment when you go to training camp. And then training camp is just a little bit faster, a little bit harder, a little bit quicker speed, a little bit, the reactions are a little bit faster, and you got to adjust to that. And then you go to preseason, and then regular season from preseason is about a step, step and a half faster to regular season games. And when you get to the playoffs, it's about another step faster. And that's one of the things that I thought we struggled with when I was in the 90s with the Chiefs, is getting ourselves, for one reason or another, that one step faster that we weren't able to do. Now, the Chiefs have been able to do that in the past, and Pittsburgh's been there, done that. Ben Roethlisberger knows that speed. But a lot of these younger teams, you watch the Bengals or the Raiders that haven't been in the playoffs in a long time, and some of these teams that haven't really been there, it'll be interesting to see how they start. The first half of the game is so important to make that adjustment, be able to do those little things that will help you win the football game as far as reaction time. And I think that is what we need to look for here, too. A lot of times when you have that bye week, you lose a little bit of that momentum. You lose a little bit of kind of getting used to playing and all that kind of stuff. So the Chiefs are going right into it. It'll be interesting to see how this run is different from the other ones with the Chiefs playing all three games before the Super Bowl.
Timmy, what's the score going to be?
I think the Chiefs win this pretty easily. I'm going to say 31-17, somewhere in that area. I just expect the Chiefs to play hard. I expect the Chiefs to play motivated. I think Ben Roethlisberger will try to will that team as much as he possibly can. They just don't have the talent that the Chiefs have. So, you know, with Arrowhead and that home crowd on a Sunday night and a crisp evening with some snow on the ground, I think Kansas City fans and the Kansas City Chiefs are gonna get this thing going, and I think you're gonna see the Chiefs take care of business.
Timmy, thank you so much for the time. I'm glad you're doing a lot better than you were last week, and hopefully you'll continue to improve, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, I'll be in next week. I'm looking forward to getting out of this house. So you guys have a great weekend, and go Chiefs, and everybody be safe out there, especially when we're getting the snow, because that ice is a great equalizer, I will tell you that.
That's exactly
so
right.
Be careful.
Thank you very much, Timmy. That's Tim Grunhard. We'll be back after this on WHB.